Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Resilience Is My Beauty with yours truly, Tawanta J. What's going on, my beautiful resilient queens? How are you all doing? I hope everyone is doing well and that you are enjoying your day, your afternoon or evening. So you know what's up, girl? You know what's up? Come on in. Drop your bags, drop your purse. Go ahead and grab you something quick to drink. Yes, whether it's coffee, glass of wine, whatever. Come on in your special room, have a sit down, prop your feet up, relax. Now take a deep breath in. Exhale slow. Yes. Take another deep breath in. Exhale slow. Hey, what's happening, my beautiful sisters? How are you doing, y'all? I hope everyone is doing well. I hope you had a good week and that you're enjoying your day or your evening. And you're just taking a minute right now, right? You're just taking a minute. So I'm glad that you're listening to this podcast. I'm glad you're listening to me. That really makes me feel good. So I hope all is doing well. Listen, y'all. I'm going to get right down to it because, okay, let me say this first and foremost. You know, I had already planned or created a list of topics for the remaining of this month, actually. And I already have it right here before me and everything. But let me tell you, I have been following a great recording artist for a minute on Instagram, and he's recently starting he's soon to launch his new album, and I've noticed on his Instagram account that he has been posting little short reels or short videos, I would say, of what he has been doing as far as his recording is concerned, but what has been transpiring in his life. And so he'd been leaving little hints and stuff every now and then, and this was like maybe what, a couple of weeks ago, he was doing this back to back or what have you. And then recently he had posted a video that he was going to explain everything, and that he was going to launch his documentary on YouTube, which was last night, and had the opportunity to check it last night. And Lord have mercy. Ooh, Jesus. And wow. I had watched that like maybe three times. And I know me. I'm going to have to go back and watch it again and again and again until it really, really ministers to me. And what I have watched, what I have allowed to really, get in my spirit, it was just a wow factor. You know, his testimony is just amazing. And if, some of you probably know who I'm talking about, but, it's of course, Kirk Franklin. And, I love that brother. I love his music. I love his vibe. I've been a supporter of him and his music since he came, since he started, back in not even just in the 90s, but even longer than that, because he did something with the Georgia Mass Choir too at the time too. So, I've been following this brother for a long time, and he's been very transparent about his family, in terms of him himself as being adopted, and, finding the truth about his biological father, and even with his oldest son, and how that, took place, I think a couple of years now, and how he and his wife has been very transparent in regards to talking about that situation with his oldest son and everything. So, you guys, if you haven't had the opportunity, if you haven't been following him on IG, you definitely need to go ahead and check him out, but also check out his documentary on YouTube, because it would explain in depth as to what he has been dealing with, what he's been struggling with, as far as truly dealing with the truth and what he thought was the truth turned out to be another lie, and then find the shocking results. And it's, wow, it just blew my mind. I love how God just worked that whole situation out in his life, though, because, you know, sometimes, you know, family just don't know when to just say, you know, I'm going to have to let this thing out of my spirit, because it's been boggling my heart for too long. Some people want to keep it until the day they die. You know, like they're really doing people a favor for not really telling the secrets or telling the truth and all of those things. So, you know, God just stepped in and just changed the whole dynamics of, you know, Kirk's situation. And the other party, you know, there's nothing that that person can do about it now, even though that person is still in denial, even though the person is still not willing to receive or accept the truth right there in their faces. You know, yet God said, I'm going to take care of it my way at my time. And that's exactly what he's done. So again, it just really had me just in awe, man, to see the reaction of him finding out about his biological dad, that his dad is alive. And the ironic thing about it is that where his dad lives, is not far from his studio, you know, and not far. And also the neighborhood, I think, where his youngest son, I think, went to high school or something like that. So it's just like, wow, he's been right there and never knew he existed, you know, because he never met him, so to speak. He never met him. But again, I don't want to go all in depth into the whole situation. You would have to watch the video for yourself, but I'm just pulling out a little bit of info, a little bit of something just to give you an idea of how impactful, how powerful, how crazy, but at the same time, how happy, I would say. At the end of the day, I'm happy that there's closure on for Kirk, and you know, him finding out who his dad is. And the wonderful thing about that is that his dad, who did not know either, how he had welcomed him in open arms. They both embraced not knowing what they know now. You know what I mean? It's just like, whoa. And that part in that whole part right there in that video, it was just, whew. And I was reading the comments of those who watched it, and a lot of them can really relate to it. You know, a lot of them can really relate to Kirk's story, because, you know, there's a lot of people out here who are still trying to figure out who they belong to. You know, especially those who have been adopted, who's been in the system. And, you know, you thought one thing about of that person, and then years later you find out that person was never related to you. And then you carrying all this anger and bitterness and all of that towards that person, and that person passes on. And then here you find out later on that somebody else is related to you, your parent, your dad, your mom, and you find out the facts by doing a DNA testing. And you know, DNA don't lie, as Madea would say, Dana. Dana don't lie. Right? You're shocked for sure, but you even hurt at the same time, because you had this much anger and bitterness towards the person whom you believed at the time was your parent. And he finds out that about that situation, and Lord have mercy, that's heartbreaking too, because the person who had betrayed, or you know, or that was, you know, at the time supposed to be his dad, I don't know if he had I don't know if he was told that, you know, that he was Kirk's dad, or he just took it upon himself to be that dad figure. I don't know that story because it was not talked about in that documentary. But I will, excuse me, I will say that it was still a hurtful situation because, you know, at the end of the day, Kirk was lied to. And he expresses that, you know, he expresses that in his video. And that hurt me too. I felt that for him because once he had, you know, found the results, his doctor had called and, you know, gave him the news. He was shocked. He was like, what? I mean, and the more he thought about it, and then he's like, you know, my mom lied to me again. Like, what? And I was like, man. And so I, like I said, I watched it several times so I can be able to, you know, really focus on certain points that I didn't probably pay attention the first time or second time or what have you. And, you know, when I saw that the third time and I heard him saying that part about his mom, you know, not telling the truth again, that lets me like, wow, okay, this is not the first time that she hasn't been honest. This is not the first time she has apparently has, you know, made up, you know, some stuff about that person being, you know, his dad and some other things that I don't know about that he didn't share. But it's, you see that this is an ongoing toxic situation. And the thing is, too, that they haven't communicated for the past 23 years. He shares that, too. You know, this was pretty much like the first time that they actually reconnected, you know, 23 years, you know, that he actually gets to see his mom and to officially like see her and talk to her or what have you. And his aunt. And oh, yeah, that aunt was special. Even though she was there for that brief moment, of course, but yeah, her introduction, even though she, he wasn't introducing to her, but she made herself very well known. And if you have already seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you have to watch the video to understand what I'm talking about. But, you know, she turned me off just by that alone. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, you know, and I'm like, lady, wow. Oh, my goodness. So, but you know what? I applaud Kirk so well. You know, God is working on him. He has been going through a lot. He has dealt with a lot. He's been dealing with this for a very, very long time. And as I said before, he has been very transparent about his family's issues and situation, even him growing up as a kid, you know, and all of that, and what he encountered, what he endured, what he, you know, what he was faced with and all of that. So to see the growth, to see him still accelerating in the ministry, and, you know, I'm very proud of him. I'm very proud of him because this is not an easy thing to do, to go ahead and invite the world into something so private, something so intimate, if you will, something so, you know, raw, you know what I'm saying? And for him to do that and to be consistent with that, I applaud him for that, because there is a lot of us, a lot of people out there, whether you are godly or not, there's a lot of people out there that don't want to, they're not ready to do that. They are going to keep that, you know, to the day they die, keep it in the grave with them. There are people who still walking around with a lot of anger, a lot of hurt, a lot of betrayal, a lot of bitterness, a lot of all of that. And, you know, they are not willing to share. Now, granted, because they're probably just not ready as of yet, because it is that's a heavy, heavy load, man. That's a heavy topic to talk about. It really, really is. But at the same time, you know, at some point, you know, if you want to be free, and I mean really be free indeed from that kind of bondage, you want to breathe again, you want to see things differently, you want to love again, man. Oh my God. Yeah, this is the opportunity to start healing by speaking your truth. And yes, it's a difficult thing to do because you know that people will be exposed. You know that people are going to be feeling some kind of way. And then you're going to have people going to go ahead and, you know, come back at you and say, why you didn't consult about this with me first? Why you didn't tell me you're going to do this? You know what I'm saying? You got people like that. And that's mostly in the family, right? It's not outside the circle. It's in the circle, you know. And at the end of the day, it's their story. Just like Kirk said, this is his story. And just like his father, Mr. Rick, this is your story. And I'm going to respect you for when you are ready to come in. My house, my home, my heart is available for you. I mean, that the respect he had for Kirk, even, you know, just finding out that he's a dad. And I don't know if he has children in his, you know, in his life right now. It didn't specify that. I'm in the documentary, so I don't know if, you know, if he has children, adult children or not. But the wonderful thing about it is that he and his wife, because his wife was there for that moment, you know, they both are opening their hearts, their homes, their everything to Kirk. And, you know, when Kirk is ready to come on in, so to speak, he's right there with him every step of the way, you know. And that was just a beautiful, beautiful closure, so to speak, if you will. And they are constantly still learning to connect with each other. They have been connecting, because at the very end, he gives you an update as to what's been going on since that recording, you know, of that situation. And so, yeah, I applaud him so much for just really sharing that, because it's a very private, intimate situation. But it's also a testimony. It's also a healing story too. It's a story to let people know that they are not alone in that kind of situation. That, you know, that, because there's people who are dealing with so much. There are people who are experiencing that same or similar situation that Kirk has shared, you know, about his life. Because I've been reading the comments, and there's some, you know, relationships that has been mended. Thank God. You know, there's some that didn't know they had their father or mother, you know, up into their adulthood, you know, or reconnect with these people, you know what I'm saying, up to their 40s or 50s, you know what I mean? And so, and there are people who are still in a situation where they don't know who their father is. If they don't know if their father is alive or their mother is alive, or, you know, that kind of thing. They haven't really taken the initiative to go any deeper, because it's painful, it's scary, it's hurtful. And you don't want to cause any friction or any confusion, but at the same time, you know, you are bleeding on the inside and you are not happy. You want to know, you want to get closure. And the thing about it is this, the solution or the information that you, are in need of is right there in front of your face. It's right there. Meaning that your family members, they know the story. They know the story. And they have not, or they will not, or they just haven't thought about telling you the truth. You have to find out from another resource. You had to take the initiative to do your own DNA testing. You know, and all this stuff, just to confirm some things, just to rule out some things, right? And then when you find out the truth of the truth of the truth, oh, man. And so, you know, his mom, who, like I said, whom he talks about, you know, that he haven't communicated or really connected with her for, like, for 23 years, you know. But she shows up, and when he, and with his aunt, her sister, and, you know, he brings it to their attention about the DNA testing, and he shows the results to them, and, you know, they're repeating 99.99, you know, and, you know, his mom just chuckles, and, you know, and Kirk is like, there's your proof, and so far, no, she said, no, this ain't right, and I can prove it. I can tell you, you know, how did she put it? I don't want to, like, add words to it, but basically, she's adamant that the DNA was wrong. She said, you know, I'm telling you on my mother's grave that this is wrong, that he is not your father. And I'm like, girl, DNA don't lie. DNA don't lie. And, you know, Kirk is like, wow. Really, mom? Really? You don't. Okay. Now, of course, they had a second DNA testing, and this time she wanted to be a part of it. She wanted to be included in which she was. And the results came back the same. Right? It came back the same. And yet she still rejected. She still rejected the, you know, the results. She rejected Kirk's feelings about the whole situation. And wow. I mean, that just, ooh, Jesus, that cut, that is, that messed me up a little bit. It really did. And I understand that we, you know, people got deep, deep rooted pain and issues and stuff, but I don't know, man. I don't know when it comes to the mothers and the fathers, for some reason, I don't know what it is about the mothers that just don't want to be honest. And just speak the truth. What are you protecting? Who are you protecting? Oh, it's you. Because everybody else that was a part of that equation, they're either deceased, they are just not not mentally able to, you know, speak the truth, right? I mean, it's on you. Why are you still adamant that this is not accurate? So basically, you know, Kirk gave her, you know, he's like, okay, listen, I want you to tell this 10-year-old Kirk. When he said that, I was like, oh, man. Because, you know, that's all I saw throughout the whole entire documentary from the beginning to the end. I saw that child standing out there. Here you see a 53-year-old man, but yet you see a child that's been wanting and craving and dreaming and praying for the opportunity to get to know his daddy. And God blessed him with that opportunity, that his, not only did he found him and saw him, you know, but he's alive. And on top of that, the father receives him. Whew, Lord Jesus, he receives him. You know what I mean? And then that one side of that chapter of his life is a joy celebration. But on the other side, you have the mom that is still in deep denial. And she is like, nope. So he says to her, he's like, listen, I want you to tell the 10-year-old Kirk that based on what you have witnessed, not one, but two DNA test results, that you still don't receive the truth about this. And she said, no, I don't. Okay. I was like, wow. I'm like, okay. And so She went on to asking, you know, based on my answer, is this going to cause some conflict basically between us? He said, oh, yes. it's going to, you know, absolutely. And he mentioned, he said that he had to make some difficult decisions. If based on what she stated, yeah, he had to make some decisions. And he told her up front, he said, okay, here's the deal. There's not going to be no communication here. There's not going to be no joke, no calling, no laughing, none of that. Basically, he's like, I'm cutting ties right now. Because there's no point for me to continue to be in this toxicity of a relationship with you. And you're going to continue to keep pouring that in my spirit, telling me that this DNA wrong. He's not my father. He's not my father. Where it is proven twice that he is, right? So I'm just going to separate myself from you until you come to that realization that, yeah, he is your father. Because he had enough of it. And that doesn't mean he doesn't love his mama. Of course, that's his mother. But he's not going to continue to allow that mindset to trigger in and cause more confusion, more setbacks, more hurt, more anger. He's not going to deal with that anymore. So he's just telling her, I can't and I won't. And he has every right to make that decision. And so the aunt that was sitting there, she, of course, now she was kind of humbled here, you know, because Kirk had to remind them of what he had to go through as a kid trying to raise a kid himself. He had his first son, Kerryon, the oldest one that has been on social media and back forth and everything. And he's expressing, sharing the moments where he was trying to, you know, try to get money. He had to pawn stuff. He had to, his car was repossessed at the church parking lot. I mean, this, he says that in the video, y'all. And he's like trying to survive, trying to pay for child support, trying to get money. And here you come into me telling me that you don't believe, that you reject the results. He couldn't take that no more. And so the auntie, you know, she turns to her sister and he, you know, she's pretty much almost near tears. And she's like, he just wants you to tell the truth. Just tell him the truth. And then she goes, hey, the mother, she starts crying, talking about, I almost had you and now I'm about to lose you again and all of that. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus. I'm like, okay, now you starting to make it about yourself. It's not even about you, boo. No. That crocodile tears ain't going to work. And I'm not trying to dare be mean, but it's just not working. Because here's the thing. Her sister told her, you need to tell the truth. That was your opportunity to go ahead and spew out everything. No matter how bad it was, no matter what happened, just say what you need to say so you can start healing yourself. She just totally overruled that. So she missed the opportunity to really get it cleared out, you know? And so with that, you know, Kirk was like, I'm going to have to end this because it's just not working. It's just not. I'm not going to allow you to continue to contaminate what just took place in my life. You knew. He didn't say this, but I'm just paraphrasing all overall. You know, this woman knew that he's been looking for his daddy ever since he was a kid. And at the beginning of the documentary, you know, she leaves a audio message because it you know, at the beginning, he explains how this all came about. And that's the first time, I think, I don't know if that is the first, I'm assuming it is, but that's the first time that she actually calls and leaves a message for Kirk to call her back, because she states that, you know, if whatever rumor that's going around, I want you to give me a call and so I can explain and this, that, or whatever. And she hangs up or whatever. And so that was, if she meant that, then that was an opportunity for her to speak the truth then when they had reconnected, right? But it didn't happen. So that part, you know, it kind of stung me too. And my heart just broke for him. It really did. But at the same time, I rejoice for him too, because now he has found closure as far as finding his daddy and finding the truth. And it's not like, because here's the thing, he wasn't looking. He wasn't looking for his father, because the man that passed away in 2017, he thought that was his dad. And if y'all remember a while back, he had showcased him one time. And I think he was, I don't know if he was on a video or something or what have you, but he introduced, no, it wasn't a video. I think he just introduced his dad because he had mentioned that his dad had cancer. He was dying of cancer. And so he had shared his father to the world about him. So he wasn't even looking. Okay, this is all by conversation that took place at a funeral by one of his singers that he grew up with. And it was all by conversation because Mr. Rick had stated in conversation at the funeral, not like in the service, but I guess in conversation, that he used to date Kirk's mom when they were kids, when they were younger. And that's how things started, you know, the rumor reel started rolling. And they looked at him and they was like, oh, he looks like him. Oh, he does look like Kurgan. Da, 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 da. You know how that goes and stuff. So that's how it pretty much triggered. And that's how it is. That's how it resolves now to this point. So again, if you haven't already, go watch the video, guys. It will blow you away. It will really bless you. And it will have you to be humble too, because again, we don't know the stories that people are carrying in their hearts. We don't know the outcome. We don't understand what people are dealing with, what they have been carrying for so many years. This brother is 53 years old and he still is carrying the history, the pain, the trauma of his childhood in his adult mind, in his adult life. Yet he still continue to minister and, you know, producing great songs and all of these things. And he says that, but yet he's still broken. Whew, my God. And a lot of people got to be careful of not quickly judging celebrities or people who are living in a better lifestyle than we are. That don't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing. You got to be careful, man, of who you put your mouth on, because you just don't know what they are carrying in their hearts. You don't know the pain. Yeah, they may come on television and smiling and dancing and prancing and doing all the things that they, you know, that they do, you know, or what have you. But when that camera is gone, when the mic is turned off, they are still struggling with the unknown. They're still trying to do their own in personal investigation, trying to figure out where is their biological parents. Do they have siblings and this, that, or whatever, right? We got to be careful about that, man. Everybody's going through something. Everybody's carrying some things. You know what I mean? And like I was saying earlier about the older generation, man, I just don't understand why... our mothers, our grandmothers, our uncles, our aunties, that's 60, 70 plus and beyond, why they find it so necessary to keep family secret a secret. You know what I mean? It's 40 some years later, it's 50 some years later, and yet you still don't want to say nothing? And especially if you already know that that family member has been looking and looking and looking for the truth about their biological family member or the situation, and like I said, the truth is right there in front of your face, and nobody says nothing until Dana comes in and just causes havoc. That DNA, baby. She comes in and she's like, oh, I'm going to end this once and for all. Okay? And then that's when all hell breaks loose. That's when people start to go off. That's when family members start going off and like, that's not true. That's a lie. Da, 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 da. right? What was this show? Mervy Kovich, this show when he used to always say, you know, and you're so something like David, you are the father, you know, that kind of situation. And how they run off the you know, the stage, and they crying and screaming and all this stuff, you know, because they're in, you know, belief and shock, disbelief and all those things, right? That's pretty much how it is when something like this happens. So yeah, y'all, we gotta honestly just start being truthful with yourself. Start with yourself. If you know there's a story that you need to share or that you need to tell, and just go ahead and speak your truth. You're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but you definitely want to take care of you. You want to be free from it once and for all. You want to be free from this bondage of not knowing. You want to be free from this toxic, you know, nonsense of what people been saying and lying to and tricking you. And but you want to be free from all of that, man. Life is too short. And just like Rick, which is Kirk's father's name, he's, you know, basically he was saying to him in the room, you know, life is too short. You know, I'm going to take full advantage of getting to know my son. I'm going to take full advantage of him getting to know me. You know what I mean? I'm not holding any grudges. I'm not blaming anybody. And he said that. I don't have time for that. You know, it is what it is. And God worked this thing out so well. You know, it wasn't even intentional, but it was intentional to be found, to be put out there. You know what I mean? Because again, like I said, Kirk had already had the assumption that the previous person in his life that he thought was his father was his father. So he wasn't even looking. He wasn't even looking, man. Right? But in conversation, that's how it started. In conversation, that's how it started. And Mr. Rick didn't know nothing either. He was innocent. He didn't know a thing. He didn't know nothing. And he expresses that in conversation with Kirk when they meet for the first time. And that was so intense for him, for Kirk. He was so anxious and so scared. All I saw was that little boy. That's all I saw was the little boy on that man's porch. And my heart just broke for him. And there's so many adults that are still living that childhood memory of missing their daddy or their mom. There's so many of us adults that are still crying from the inside, that 5-year-old, that 8-year-old, that 12-year-old, you know, and you never was treated fair. You never was appreciated. You were rejected. And Kirk talks about that because he felt rejected, you know, throughout his childhood because nobody wanted him and for what he had at the time, what he was, you know, growing up. Now his biological father, he's innocent because he never knew. So he's not even part of that equation of all this crazy confusion here. That's family business. That, you know what I mean? That's from the mama, then the sister, and whoever else that was part of that tribe at the time. Somebody knows the truth, and nobody is willing to speak the truth. People want to carry that stuff in, and unfortunately, people have died carrying the secret. And I'm a living witness to that because I believe my biological father never told his family before he passed away about me. It still ponders in my mind whether or not if my father had mentioned me to his wife and to his children, his adult children at the time. And I'm like, wow. I wondered if he did. I wonder if he just laid it all out, knowing that he didn't have no more than days, if not hours, left on this earth, did he finally spoke the truth? Did he finally share that part of his life? I have no idea. And my father knew ever since I was growing up that I always wanted to meet my half siblings. So what my dad did at the time when I was 7 years old, he showed me pictures of my half siblings. That was my introduction. At that time, I was excited. I was like, oh my God, I see my sister. Oh, I see my brother, you know, and I'm so hype and happy. And even then I was like, well, Daddy, when I'm gonna meet them? I want to meet them. And I don't remember what he said. I want to believe he said someday soon or whatever. Now, of course, here it is years later, and maybe about, I would say like maybe 6 months ago, early this year, I took upon myself to do a little bit more digging. I went on the Facebook page of both of my sisters, and one in particular, and I just scroll, and I was reading some comments and stuff, and come to find out that she, and I believe along with my half-sister, her sister, both attended the high school that I went to. Now, my mom told me when she was pregnant with me that my dad's wife was pregnant at the same time. So my youngest sister and I pretty much were born in the same year, in 68. So that lets me know, you know, that, okay, because we're both from Newark, right? She, my dad, and the family, they all reside and live in Newark. And I wasn't even looking for that. I was just scrolling just to see if I could find any more information, I guess, you know. But that stuck out because my high school has an Indian name. And so, you know, you see that name and you're like, oh, what's up with that? You know, and when I read it, I was like, oh my God, it flipped me up a little bit. I'm like, what? I'm like Kirk Franklin when he finds out that the test was accurate, that Mr. Kirk, Mr. Rick was his daddy, is his daddy. I was like Kirk walking back and forth. What? All this time, my dad didn't say a word to me that both my sisters, if not one of them, went to my high school. And for all I know, we could have been walking across the hallway back and forth, and I never knew she existed. Golly, that bugs me out now. Now, I was looking at the roster, my class of 87, and I didn't see her name. And I went to a site, classmate.com, and to look for class of 86 at my high school. And I didn't see her name there. So I don't know if she stayed until she graduated or she was there and she transferred. That part I don't know. But I do know, based on what I read from her Facebook page, that she did go to that high school. She did go to Weekway High. Yes. And I was just floored because my dad knew I went to Weekway. Because every time when we saw each other, he always asked me, so how you doing? How's your classes? How you doing with your teachers and stuff? Like, he was really in tune with my education. So, I would go ahead and tell him about my day or whatever, you know, but never knew that my half sister was at the school at the same time that I was. Wow. I had to find out through Facebook. Woo-wee. Man, if my daddy was alive now, yeah, I would be trying to connect with him because I don't have his number. So I would have to do the old fashioned way, do a Dear John letter and write to him and say, you need to contact me ASAP. And I know he would have. If he was able, physically able to do that, I know he would have. And I would have blasted him on that phone. Like, yo, Dad, you need to talk to me real quick. We need to have a conversation for real, for real. You know, why you didn't tell me, you know, my half-sister was at the school that I was attending? Huh? Come on with it. You know, I'm serious. I would have been like that. Because I'm like, you knew I wanted to meet my half-siblings. That was important to me. Because I'm the only child. So often I always wished I had a sister or a brother. And God blessed me with three of them. And yet my dad, with his secrets. Yeah. Did not share it. How many of you are dealing with something similar to my story, or if not Kirk's story? How many of you are dealing with family secrets now? Some of you probably have found out recently or a while back about some things that blew your mind. Maybe you found out after the immediate family member, one of the immediate family member passed away. Because usually when we come together on a funeral, unfortunately, when somebody passes away, sometimes we come as a family, we sit in the living room or kitchen or dining room table and we look at pictures and stuff because we're trying to get the obituary set up. And so we come across some pictures and some letters and some notes and all these other things of that individual. And then we often sometimes ask, well, who is this in the picture with her? Well, who's in the picture with him? And this, that, or whatever. And then we have a conversation. Oh, that's cousin so-and-so daughter. Oh, that's Uncle Herbert's cousin. Or that's your mama. Or that's your brother. That's your, and you like, wait, what? My brother? My what? You like, I don't have a brother. And I guess it that person, like, oops, well, you do now. You know, you probably have somebody who will say something sarcastic like that. It ain't funny, but it's funny. Like, you know, you see some movies like that, you know, when you have the family get together, family reunion or whatever, family retreat and all this stuff. And then, you know, oh boy, hell, this starts to bust wide open and you can't hear the truth and nothing but the truth. And it just blows you away. And everybody's angry. Everybody's mad. Everybody's this, that, or whatever. And that's how it happens, man. And at some point, when are we going to grow up? At some point, when are we going to stop this foolishness and try to act like we're doing something, you know, but we really covering up for ourselves. It's not even about protecting you or protecting that adult person. That person is an adult now. They're not 6, they're not 8, they're not 12. They're 40 years old, they're 45 years old, and you still holding on to the secret. You 60-something years old and you still holding on to the secret? Oh, I just felt that it, you know, it wasn't the right time. What when do you think will be the right time? Ah, Jesus. So this is what I believe that's what's going on right now. That is a lot of families that are still not together as they should because of family secrets, because of lies told and the truth not told. And it's causing so much stress, separation, frustration, anger, bitterness, all of that. There are so many people who are in deep denial. They don't want to acknowledge the truth. They still want to stay stuck in this delusion that they have created, you know, and don't want nobody to destroy what they have built, this lie for 40 plus years of their life. And that's why Kirk just said, I gotta separate myself from you, Mom. I love you, but I cannot deal with this. I can't, and I'm not. Cause this is too much. This is too much. And at some point, some of us will have to be bold like that and just say with firmness that I will not tolerate that no more. You go ahead and keep on sitting on that delusional lie all you want to, but I am going to be free from this thing. I'm still going to love you, but I cannot continue to be involved until you make a decision on this, on our relationship, until you come forth, until you accept the truth that what is, right? That what is. And I pray, y'all, that that we really continue to ask God to help us to move forward, to start executing things out of our hearts, our spirit, and our minds, to give us the boldness to connect with those individuals that have caused some disturbance, some pain, or disorder in your life, in the family's life. Thanksgiving is coming up, y'all. Christmas is coming up, y'all. But it shouldn't even matter if it's a holiday coming or not. This should be resolved one way or the other. So you can start walking in freedom. You can be at peace of mind and not carry somebody else's pain, not carry somebody else's burden, not carry somebody else's weight because you know you're related to them. Right? You got to take care of yourself. You got to heal from this. And so that project that he's doing, his album that's going to be coming out next month, that has been his safety net. That has been his healing ointment, his balm in Gilead. And I could tell you right now, just hearing snippets of the songs. Oh, my Lord. Oh, Jesus. You will understand how that song, that album is so personal. By watching that documentary and getting a full, complete picture of his life, you will understand the lyrics much better. So listen, I'm going to go, but I definitely will come back next week and, you know, may do a part two of this or what have you, because I'm going to continue to watch this again and again and again until, you know, something comes out, you know, that really stands out the most. But I hope you guys get the opportunity to watch it on YouTube. It has already blossomed over about, the last time I checked, it was like around 58,000 people that watched this video. And this launched at 1 o'clock in the morning, Friday night. Okay, so yeah, it's already surfacing around the net. So we're going to close up with a prayer. I want you all to be blessed, to enjoy each other, to love on each other, but also to ask God to heal your brokenness, to heal your heart so you can be free. Father God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this platform. Thank you for the fellowship of me being around those beautiful sisters. I ask you, Father God, to help us to heal from whatever issues, whatever family dilemma, whatever family secrets that has been surfacing above our heads and in our hearts for the past days, weeks, months, if not years. Help us, oh Lord, to just be bold and to be strong, to move forward into the next step that we have to make. It's not an easy step, but it's a necessary step, because that's the beginning of our healing. And that's the ending of the destruction. Help us, oh God, to just start loving ourselves more. Teach us, oh Lord, to forgive ourselves for punishing ourselves for the things we did. God, you're not punishing us. We're doing it to ourselves. Help us, oh Lord, to forgive ourselves. Because yes, God, you said you will forgive us for all our sins if we repent to you. And once we have done that, we start brand new with you. You will clean us up and we start a brand new beginning. And there's so many of us that wants that right now. And I pray that God, that after hearing the sound of my voice, that they will call on to you and say, Lord, I need you now. We ask you, oh God, to help us today and to help us to start learning to love today. We give you praise right now. And I ask you, Father God, to continue to pray. I pray for Kirk Franklin and his family, his son, his wife, and his father, and his mother as well, the whole entire family, that again, to continue to pour restoration, reconciliation, and peace in the family. In Jesus' name, I pray.